Daily, daily, sing to Mary, sing my song.
Pope Benedict is due to visit the world-famous Marian Shrine at Lourdes in southwest France later on this month. Nearly 6 million pilgrims each year visit the shrine at Lourdes, where Our Lady appeared 18 times to a local peasant girl in 1858. Lourdes is renowned as a site for healing miracles and has more than 7,000 cures to its credit, although only around 67 of them are deemed miracles by the shrine's medical committee. Among those many millions of people throughout the world who have made the pilgrimage to Lourdes is a couple in England who are convinced that their 4-year-old daughter is a Lourdes miracle and would not be alive today if they hadn't gone to the shrine. I've been finding out more about their dramatic and heartwarming story. The husband's name is Paul Wood. Born in Scotland, he's a Catholic living in the city of Bristol, and who, together with his pregnant wife Sarah, went on their first pilgrimage to Lourdes in 2002. Their pilgrimage took place after the couple had recently suffered the tragedy of seeing their second child die shortly after birth because of an untreatable genetic disorder. Doctors had told Paul and his wife that they had a 1 in 4 chance of having another child with the same disorder because they both carried the recessive gene. Paul began by telling me about their decision to go to Lourdes when Sarah became pregnant with their third child.
The tempest rages round thee, she will calm the troubled sea. Gift of heaven.
We went to Lourdes at that point because we had been told by the medical profession that there was nothing that they could do to test the child when the child was either in the womb or as when the child was first born. The first test that could be done was when the child was 12 hours old. So therefore, the only thing we could really do through my belief system was go to Lourdes for some form of divine intervention.
Because you've been told that there was a 1 in 4 chance that this child could have the same untreatable genetic condition.
Yes, and it is completely untreatable. There's nothing that, if they had detected the daughter at Dyde's condition when, say, she was a few hours old, they would have been able to do nothing about it anyway.
OK, so you went to Lourdes. What was the atmosphere like there? I mean, what were your feelings as you spent some time at this Marian Shrine?
When we went to Lourdes, we actually went with the HCPT, which is the Handicapped Children Pilgrimage Trust, Group 37, which is our local group. And therefore, there was 20 adults and 20 children, roughly, that were there, in amongst a group of 500,000 HCPT delegates. And the atmosphere, as soon as you got there, you could just, in the shrine itself, in the shrine area, it was just complete silence, whereas every place else was quite loud, as you can imagine, with that number of children around. When you actually got into the shrine area, it was a very difficult thing to describe. It was very tranquil, is the best way to put it. The candles that are lit along the shrine sort of sum it up, you know, as to how sort of tranquil it is in there.
Was it in some ways a humbling experience or a very deeply spiritual experience? What thoughts were going through your mind as you were there in front of the shrine?
The main thought was, if as you put this subtly, if God exists, it's the one place on earth that it definitely would be.
And the other people that were there at Lourdes, I mean, there's some people there who are very seriously ill. How did it make you feel? Did it make you feel grateful?
I think the miracle of Lourdes, I would say if people go to Lourdes expecting if they go out in a wheelchair and expect to walk back, that's not what I would say is a real miracle of Lourdes. A real miracle of Lourdes is that you actually see a lot of people with worse conditions than yourself or with worse problems than yourself. And that's the real miracle of Lourdes, is actually you put your own life in perspective when you're there.
Nonetheless, when you went there, you were obviously, as you said, hoping for divine intervention, hoping that this child that your wife was carrying would not have this same untreatable genetic condition. And yet, when she was born, you had some very dramatic news, didn't you? I mean, tell us exactly what happens.
We were told when Imogen was 3 days old, which was a Friday afternoon, that she would not live for the rest of the weekend. We were told to take an envelope, which we read about 6 months later, to take an envelope with a letter in it and give it to the ambulance driver when Imogen died. the envelope actually, but when we opened it, like I say, it was about 6 months later, had a statement in it that this child has just died from an untreatable genetic condition.
So the doctors were totally certain, beyond any manner of doubt, that Imogen was going to die?
Without any doubt at all, yes.
And what were your thoughts at this time?
My first statement to the specialist who told me that was, I don't believe you. It's just something told me that what they were telling me was untrue.
And did your wife share your optimism and your feeling of hope at this time?
I think to define it as a feeling of hope is maybe pushing a bit too far. We were obviously exceptionally upset. You know, this was not what we were expecting for news. But just from spending time with the daughter who died, you could see she was quite listless. You could see she wasn't, her breathing was quite heavy, for example, which was all signs of the condition, as it turned out was the case. Imogen wasn't exhibiting any of this. All that the doctors had was this blood test, which suggested that she had this problem.
And the blood test, I mean, that they'd run, as far as the doctors are concerned, it was accurate. There was no doubt that they'd made a mistake. It was definitely certain.
It was certain. The specialist's advice was take your child home, spend some time with her, and call ambulance, not immediately when she dies, but take your time, and then call ambulance sometime after she dies. That was the specialist's advice. When I suggested that if she was still here on the Monday, bear in mind this was a Friday, will we bring her back in and have her retested? The advice was she will not be alive at that point in time. She will definitely be dead.
Call her mother, call her virgin, happy mother.
So you took her home, and as we now know, she survived the weekend. So you took her back to the hospital, I gather, on the Monday, still alive.
Yeah.
What was the reaction? Can you tell us a little bit there, how the specialist and the doctors reacted?
The specialist was quite visibly shocked. He obviously didn't want Imogen to die. At no point in time did he want that to happen, but he was quite visibly shocked that the test results that he had suggested she would be dead, and she wasn't. So he redid the test, and it was the same result again. When I suggested, once again, will I bring her back in if she's still alive on Wednesday, he reassured me once again that she would not be alive by Wednesday.
But she was, wasn't she? Tell us more.
Yes. My wife and myself took her back in on Wednesday morning. The specialist was, again, visibly shocked. He re-ran the test, and the test result had halved, which basically meant the test result was a reading of the lactic acid levels within the body, and that had gone down and reduced it to half the previous results, which suggested that actually Imogen was fine. And it was something that they could not, and they still cannot, explain. On the Friday and the Monday, they ran the tests. The test results were so high, and they had halved by the Wednesday. Medical science cannot explain why that's actually happened.
And did the test then, at that point, stay low, and she just continued to grow and thrive?
We were told that when the lactic acid level was reduced to below 2, whatever it was, within a litre, that the results would not go up again. For you or I, it would go, if we go to the gym or go for a swim or some form of exercise, your lactic acid levels will go up, and the same thing will happen with Imogen, but it won't. It suggests that everything was fine at that point in time.
So, as far as you and your wife are concerned, this was a miracle that was wrought at Lourdes.
Yes, yes. I would say certainly that Imogen is a miracle. I think no matter what somebody chooses to believe, if it's a miracle or not, it still gives people hope, which I think is key to this. Medically, an explanation cannot be given. Therefore, the only explanation to draw is that Imogen is indeed a miracle.
And what about the specialist who you dealt with at this period? Was he afterwards convinced that it was a miracle? Was he maintaining to the end that it was just some inexplicable change of her condition?
I didn't go into details with the specialist then. Actually, to be fair, now, he was in tears with the result. He was overjoyed, and visibly overjoyed, because obviously he didn't want Imogen to die. So he was very pleased. He didn't try to give an explanation. He just says, I don't understand how medically this is possible. And I didn't go into detail with him as to what his belief system was or what he thought it was. We were just so overjoyed that we've been told that Imogen was fine.
And she's continued fine to this day then?
She's continued fine to this day. She is close to her fifth birthday now, and she is visibly fine, no problems at all. appears to be a very intelligent, very bright child.
And has she been told about what happened to her, and what are her thoughts about it? Has she made any comments?
She has been told. We take her to our sister's grave every week. It's worth pointing out that actually we have had four children. Three of them are perfectly healthy. Cameron Victoria, who's a child who died, was our second child. We've had two children since.
One of which, of course, was Imogen.
One of which was Imogen, yes. Our oldest daughter, who is nine years old now, she is fine. We didn't realise we were carriers of the genetic condition at that point in time. We then had Cameron Victoria, who would have been six and a half now. We then had Imogen, and we then had Samuel, who is two.
So, anyhow, Imogen is your miracle baby. And you went back to Lourdes, though, after this, didn't you? Did you go back to give thanks, or what was the reason why you went back the second time?
We booked a holiday in Lourdes to give thanks for Imogen. And by the time we got there, my wife was 6 weeks pregnant again. Just coincidentally, the same amount of pregnancy had gone by. We had booked a holiday 3 months beforehand. So we went along, obviously, firstly to say thanks for Imogen, and secondly to say, can we hope this child's fine?
And Samuel was fine?
And Samuel was fine. They actually, it was the same specialist, and he didn't test Samuel till he was 5 days old, because we had such a trauma, and as we've explained through this interview, with Imogen. By the time Imogen was given all clear, she was 8 days old. So we thought, well, why have that over this time? If they tell us that Samuel's got the same condition, there's nothing we can do about it anyway. So we waited till he was 5 days old and got the test done. And he was fine with the first time they did the test.
So everybody considers Imogen your miracle baby, and you very much put this down to the fact that you went on that pilgrimage to Lourdes.
Yes, I would say 100% linked to the pilgrimage to Lourdes.
I was speaking there to Paul Wood from Bristol in England.